Thank you, Pastor Michael.
What an amazing man that is, Pastor Michael Obey. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I thank God for you, my beloved son, Michael. My beloved son, in whom I'm well pleased. Amen. Oh, and oh, how much Keziah has done in his life. When I first met him, he was raw material. And now he's a finished product. I'm blessed to have my first wife here with me today. She's my first wife, my last wife, my forever wife. She's the one and only, the love of my life. I go all over the world, but I've only got eyes for one woman. Oh, yes, and I am so married. I'm really thankful. When she got married with me, she bought me a big gold band, and she wanted to make sure everybody saw it, that I was married. I love this woman. Oh, what a blessing she is to my life. Oh, how I thank God for my wonderful wife, Lavana. Oh. Oh, and I'm here. I go all over the world and preach, but then I've got favorite places, and this is one of my favorite places in the world to get to come to. And favorite people all over this room here, just favorite people that I love, and I'm thankful to be here. And wasn't the worship good today? Thank you so much, our worship team. Thank you. And these beautiful ladies up here smiling and worshiping and singing the whole time. Oh, I thank God for the worship and praise that's here in the house. You know, many places that I go all over the world, when they do praise and worship, I'm just glad it's over with. For one thing, they've got speakers that would serve 100,000 people, and there are only 10 people there, you know. And I absorb it all. Some places, if you don't have anointing, you just increase the volume. I used to criticize preachers that said funny things before they preach, and then I became one of them. I found out that you have to get people open a little bit before you can put something in, and I found out if you get people to open their mouth, there's a chance that you can put your spoon in their mouth and feed them something that they need. I do love being here. This is such a special place, and I'm really, really thankful to be here. Thank you so much for inviting me. I'm honored so much that you invited me to come, especially for this great occasion today where we're going to be ordaining a pastor here in the house. Pastor Steve Mathis. And he's a son to me too. I know you don't think I'm old enough to be his dad, but I love him, and I'm honored to be here today to help lay hands on him and anoint him for this role of ministry that he's been carrying and that we can recognize today. I love you guys. I'm so glad to see you. Amen. I do. I honor your big, big heart that you've poured out for so many people. And my heart is touched by the gifts that I see in you. And I just want to honor you today and the legacy that you passed on to the generations. And I do honor you and bless you today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I'm going to teach today. I'm going to teach on a gift that you don't hear much about. You know, we've heard a lot about preaching and teaching and miracles and gifts, But I'm going to teach on one today that's rarely talked about, but I see it is so strong in your pastor and so strong in this church, so strong in Steve and Sandy and so many of you. It's the wonderful gift of hospitality. It is a spiritual gift. The Holy Spirit works through it. Hospitality is one of the most beautiful and least talked about gifts in the church. It's much more than just inviting someone and giving them a sandwich or saying hello to somebody. It's really expressing the heart of God that comes out in the hospitality gifts that he puts into people's lives. Let me tell you, the world is full of lonely people, hurting people, broken people, isolated people, separated people. And there's a need more than ever, I think, for people who will reach out with the generous heart of God to love unlovable people or people that the world doesn't love. When our church first started, we planned to have a church supper, and everybody was going to bring something, and we all did. And we had one lady in the church that she worked in the mall in the cookie shop, and she was the cookie evangelist in the mall. She told people about Jesus every day in the cookie store in the mall. But that night at our church supper, she brought all of these people. She brought people that didn't get invited other places. She brought people that they didn't look good, and they didn't smell good, and people that you might not want to sit beside of at supper. But she filled the house. I mean, she brought about a dozen of them, and I didn't like it. But then God convicted my heart, and he reminded me of the words of Jesus: when you have a party, don't invite people who can invite you back. Invite people who could never return the invitation. And God really showed me that gift of hospitality and how it reaches out to people. And you may not have the gift of preaching, you may not have the gift of teaching or healing the sick, but I want to say you can show the gift of hospitality. Everyone can show the gift of hospitality. Hospitality is really the heart of God, because we see it in the fact that he loved us and reached out for us and welcomed us in when we were unlovely and unwanted. And he reached out and brought us. Romans chapter 15, verse 7. I don't know. Do we have these scriptures? There we are. Therefore, receive one another just as Christ also received us to the glory of God. God began it in reaching out to us through Christ, and it's all for the glory of God. Look at the life of Jesus. He welcomed the hurting, the broken, the sick, the demon-possessed, the oppressed, the lonely, the people that nobody else wanted. Jesus wanted them. I don't know if anybody here has ever felt unwanted, but I want to tell you, Jesus wants you. Jesus wants you, no matter who you are, no matter where you've been, no matter what you've done. I came from the poorest family you can imagine. My alcoholic father, there was abuse of all kinds, but God wanted me. God chose me, and God brought me into his family, and I'm thankful. And as followers of Christ, we can reflect that heart of God in reaching out to other people. Hospitality says you matter. It says I care about you. It says I see you. I want you. It says you're worth something. It says you belong. And I see that great heart here in Mount Zion Prayer Center, that you make people feel like they belong. I mean, if you look around, we have people from different countries and people from different backgrounds and different states, and we love each other. It's the family of God. That's the beautiful thing about the family of God. Hospitality is really not an option. It's a command in the Bible. Romans chapter 12, verse 13, talks about leaders, and it says distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. He doesn't say it's optional. He says we're to be given to hospitality. That means that we actively pursue opportunities to show the generous heart of God in the hospitality opportunities that he gives to us. And when we don't see the opportunities, we make opportunities because we're given, we're actively pursuing reaching out to people that God is calling us to reach out to. 1 Peter 4:9 says, be hospitable to one another without grumbling. Have you ever had somebody do something to you with a grumbling attitude? Or you felt like they didn't really want to give it, but they gave it to you, but they really didn't want to. They invited you, but they didn't really want to. Or God calls us to have the heart of love for people, not reluctantly, not holding back, not feeling obligated, but cheerfully expressing the heart of God. And hospitality has the great ability to encourage people, to strengthen people, to refresh people. And I want to share two New Testament examples that we don't often talk about. Two men in the New Testament that I'm not sure I can spell their names. They're unusual names. One of them is Philemon, and the other one is a man called Onesiphorus. And these two men are not known for great preaching. They're not known for healing the sick. They're not known for worldwide evangelism. What they're known for is how they refreshed other people through hospitality. Philemon 1:7, Paul says, for we have great joy and consolation in your love, because of the hearts of the saints have been refreshed by you, brother. It's a refreshing when you experience that gift of hospitality. People left Philemon's house refreshed. They left his house refreshed. They left his presence refreshed. And his generosity renewed people that came. And I want that to be said of me. How about you? I want that to be said of me, that people feel encouraged. They feel refreshed when they've been around me. That my conversations will encourage and refresh people. The second one is Onesiphorus. One of the scripture's greatest examples of hospitality is Onesiphorus. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 16 to 18. Paul was teaching Timothy, his young disciple, the man he was training in the ministry, and he was training them in characteristics of a leader, of a man of God, and he was talking about hospitality, and he talked about this man, Onesiphorus. 2 Timothy 1:16, the Lord grant mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, for he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he arrived in Rome, he sought me out very zealously and found me. The Lord grant to him that he may find mercy from the Lord in that day. And you know very well how many ways he ministered to me at Ephesus. Paul speaking to Timothy. Tim was there at Ephesus, and he saw how Onesiphorus took care of this evangelist, this traveling preacher, that he invited him, that he fed him, that he made sure he was taken care of. And Timothy saw that. He said, you know very well. And by the way, Ephesus became a great center of evangelism through which the gospel spread out through all over Asia Minor. In fact, Paul said, from there, he said, the gospel has spread and everyone in Asia Minor has heard about Jesus Christ. Part of the opening of that was because Paul was refreshed there at Ephesus by the hospitality gift of Onesiphorus. I know you never heard a message on Onesiphorus, but he's an important man, because look who he ministered to. And look at what Paul did. You never know who you're ministering to and how God is going to use them. God has used me to minister to people that have done far more than I have, and I'm really thankful for it. But then he says, Paul says, when I was in prison in Rome, Onesiphorus made the trip all the way over there. Across the ocean he came to the city of Rome, which was a big city even then, and he said he searched for me until he found me. He said he was not ashamed of me, not ashamed of my chains. To be associated with a prisoner in that time would have been dangerous. You could have been implicated. Besides, when you go to a prison, you're around prisoners, criminals, violent people that can hurt you. But Onesiphorus didn't care. He found Paul. He went to him and ministered to him. I've been to the prison in Rome where Paul was held captive, a dungeon. And I think about Onesiphorus searching the streets of Rome until he found that dark place where Paul was. I don't know about you, but I've been in some dark places in my life, and God sent somebody to find me. God called somebody to search for me and find me and refresh me, strengthen me, encourage me. Paul says he wasn't ashamed of me. There were many people that were ashamed because Paul was in prison. They wouldn't have anything to do with him, but Onesiphorus found him, searched until he found him, and came to him and refreshed him. By the way, you know, they didn't feed the prisoners in that time. They didn't give them a blanket. They didn't take care of them, but Onesiphorus did. He brought him some food. He brought him a bologna sandwich or a peanut butter and jelly sandwich or something he brought to him there in the prison, and a blanket, and refreshed him. And Paul was able to write the words of the New Testament. And I believe part of it came out of the ministry of Onesiphorus, who refreshed him and encouraged him. Hospitality seeks out people who need encouragement. There are people that come into this church every week who need encouragement. They need somebody to seek them out. They need somebody to come over and talk to them. Don't ever let anybody come in here and go out without at least five people talking to them. Find somebody that you don't know. Find somebody new. Ask them to sit with you. Go over and sit with them. Invite them out to coffee this week. Find somebody that needs encouragement and reach out to them. Can I hear an amen? Amen. God is still looking for people who will search out and find people. And you don't know what a difference you can make in somebody's life. Hebrews 13:2 says, do not be afraid to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. I've had encounters like that. I don't know if any of you have, but I've had encounters like that, that when the person was gone, when that person was gone, I realized it was a messenger from God that was sent to rescue me at that time. Abraham experienced that in Genesis chapter 18. He looked out from his tent and he saw these men coming, and it says he ran to them and he brought them in and he washed their feet and he gave them something to eat. And what might have seemed like normal Middle Eastern hospitality was an opportunity to bring God into his tent, to bring angels of God into his tent. And the ultimate result, you remember, was that Abraham interceded and God used it to save his family that was in Sodom, and Lot and his family were saved because Abraham invited some strangers in and they turned out to be angels. You never know how God may use a simple act of kindness to somebody. And the main thing I want to say is that hospitality opens the doors to the gospel. Acts chapter 16, verse 14. Now a certain woman named Lydia heard us. Paul had traveled from Asia Minor. He had traveled all around Asia Minor and through from Ephesus out to many places, and he was feeling like God wanted him to go somewhere else. And he was feeling like God was calling him to go farther. And he didn't know where to go. And he kept trying to go different places in Asia. And then it says he had a vision in the night. And a man spoke to him. And a man from Macedonia, which is now in Greece. But the man spoke to him and said, come over and help us. And Paul knew he had a word from the Lord. And so he got on a ship and went over there. And he didn't know anybody. He didn't know how to find anybody. So he went out to a river where he thought maybe there would be some people praying. And he found a woman there in prayer. A woman named Lydia. I know there are a lot of Lydias in this church. Women of prayer. And I honor you. I respect you. I thank God for you. But this woman was a businesswoman. But she was also a praying woman. And Paul went out there and met these people. And he met this woman named Lydia. And it says, the Lord opened her heart to heed the things spoken by Paul. And when she and her household were baptized, she begged us, saying, if you've judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come to my house and stay. So she persuaded us. I want you to see, when Lydia accepted Christ, the first thing she did was express that gift of hospitality. She brought the evangelist into her home. She fed him. She gave him a place to sleep. She took care of him. And her home became a center of ministry. Notice it says that all of her family were baptized. All of her family became believers because she was willing to reach out to this stranger evangelist. And the result of it ultimately was that from there, the gospel spread all throughout Europe. And from Europe, missionaries went all over the world. They went to China. They went to Africa. They went to the Americas. And we're saved because of that gift of hospitality and that woman that brought the unknown evangelist into her house and ministered to him. And her house became a center of ministry of Christ that spread all over the world. And we're the results of it today. Hospitality is a powerful gift. It's strong in this church. I know many of you, it's strong in your life. By the way, many churches in the New Testament began in homes. I don't know if you know it, this church began in a home. Living Word Church began in a home. Finally, I want to say, Jesus identifies himself with the people we serve. What do I mean by that? Look at Matthew chapter 25, verses 35 and 40. Jesus said, remember, this is a story Jesus told about the sheep and the goats, and separated the sheep from the goats. And the sheep, he said, you fed me, you clothed me, you took care of me, you visited me in prison. And the goats, he said, you didn't do it, you didn't feed me, you didn't clothe me. But look here, it says in verse 35, for I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. Verse 40. Assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it for me. I want to say to all of you people who have reached out with the gift of hospitality, you did it for Jesus. Every meal you cooked, you did it for Jesus. Every person you greeted, you did it for Jesus. Every hospital visit, you did it for Jesus. Every time you went to the jail, you visited Jesus in the jail. You visited Jesus in the hospital. You gave Jesus something to eat. Jesus said, when you did it for the least of these, you did it for me. What an amazing truth. When you feed the hungry, you're feeding Jesus. When you care for people that are homeless, you're taking care of Jesus. When you go to the jail, you're visiting Jesus. When you care about somebody that's lonely, you're caring about Jesus. Every act of hospitality is an act of worship that ministers to Jesus. Jesus receives it as a ministry to him. And it's all because of the love of God in us that He reached out to us when we were far away, and He brought us home to His heart, and He fed us, and He clothed us, and He healed us, and He nourished us, and He delivered us. Does anybody have that testimony here today that Jesus found you when you were far away, and He invited you into His home? He invited us to be a part of His family. We're ordaining a pastor today, and I remind you that the Bible says that it's one of the requirements of a leader is hospitality. 1 Timothy 3:2 says a bishop must be hospitable. You don't rise above a place where you minister to the people who are in need. Titus 1:8, be hospitable, a lover of what is good, sober-minded, just, holy, self-controlled. Hospitality doesn't require wealth. It requires willingness. You can practice hospitality by welcoming your first-time visitors that come into your church, by inviting someone to share a meal, by visiting the sick, the elderly, people in prison, by helping a family in crisis, by providing transportation for somebody that doesn't have a way to get to church, by sending a note or even a text to somebody can be an encouragement, by listening to someone who needs encouragement, by caring for widows and people alone. It's one of the greatest gifts in the body of Christ, and yet we don't ever talk about it. But it's so powerful, and I see it so strong in this church. And I pray that God increases that gift in me, that God increases that gift in you. And again, I want to say it, Matthew chapter 25, verse 40, the king will answer. There will be a day when we will stand before the king, and the king will answer and say, inasmuch as you did it for the least of these, you did it for me. Every meal you shared, every stranger you welcomed, every weary person you refreshed, every offering you gave to help somebody, you did it for Jesus. Thank you, Lord. We need to ask ourselves, who around me needs encouragement? Who needs strengthening? Who needs refreshing? Who can I reach out to? And I'm praying this for myself, and I know this church is filled with the gift of hospitality, but I just believe God wants to increase it more and more, and that it will flourish and grow and prosper in this church, and that it will spread out from this church all over the city and all over the world. Look at all the internationals that this church has welcomed in. It's the gift of hospitality. They found a place here that they wouldn't have found anywhere else. They found a home here because of the gift of hospitality that's here. I want to pray for you today, and then I want to move into this second part, if I may, Pastor Michael, where we're going to ordain a minister. It's so related to what I'm talking about here today. I want to ask everybody to stand, please. I want us to pray. I want to pray for you. And I feel like I'm the least of the people to pray for people with gift of hospitality. It's a gift I know I need to grow in. Anybody want to grow in the gift of hospitality in your life? Anybody want to reach out more to people, the hurting people, lonely people, broken people, sick people, distressed people, people in need? I want to. Lord, I pray for your people today, Lord. Let the gift flourish and grow and abound in Mount Zion Prayer Center. Let the gift of hospitality grow and flourish and abound in every one of us, O Lord. Lord, fill us with the Holy Spirit, and not just in other ways, but in the gift of hospitality. Fill us with the love of Christ Jesus, who reached out with His long arms, reaching all the way from heaven to earth, and He gathered us as sheep that were without a shepherd. Oh, we thank you, Lord, for the gift we see in Jesus and the gift that you've given to us to care for people in need. Oh, Lord God, I pray for this church to be so powerful in the gift of hospitality. Oh, Lord, thank you, thank you, thank you. We praise you, Lord, today in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. I asked Pastor Michael if I could just enter into this time of this ordaining of your new pastor, Steve Mathis. And I want to talk about them a few minutes. Now, I'm not going to tell everything I know. I first met Steve and Sandy when they came to Living Word Church, I don't know, maybe 15, 20 years ago, longer. But they didn't come alone. They had two men with them, one younger and one of them was not so young. He was older than they were. And I found out that the men lived with them in their house. In fact, they had adopted those men. Who adopts grown men? When you think about adopting children or babies, I mean, you know when you adopt a child or baby, you have a chance to train them and they're innocent and all of this. But when adults come and you adopt them, you know the problems they've got already. But Steve and Sandy adopted them. And by the way, we all have problems, okay? All of us have problems, but the younger of these two men that Steve and Sandy adopted was a young man named Joey. And Joey was, I don't know, I think I was maybe he was 15 at that time, but he seemed much younger. You see, Joey had a severe hearing loss and speech impediment. And because of that, people didn't think of him. Generally, they didn't think of him very highly. But Steve and Sandy saw something in him. You know, they met him when they were working at a Georgia group home for troubled boys. And Joey was one of them. But when Steve and Sandy left that job, Joey went with them. They adopted Joey, and he went home with them. And Joey was pleasant and jovial, and it was nice to be around. And he became their son, and he lived with them for many years until he was a young adult, and he went back to Georgia to take care of his mother. And the other man was an older man named Alec. They had met him when they worked at a drug and alcohol recovery center in Florida, a place called Faith Farms. By the way, what a gift of hospitality to work in a home for troubled boys and work in a home for recovering addicts. That's the heart that's in these people. They met Alec there and they adopted him. A man recovering from alcoholism. And by the way, Alec also had a past as a homosexual. But they adopted Alec, brought him into their home. Alec, because of all his problems, Alec had never learned to read and write. He had no opportunity to contribute financially to the family, to do anything to bless them back or anything. But they loved Alec and adopted him as a son. And Alec became a strong man and overcame alcohol, overcame the other problems in his life. And both Joey and Alec became really good church members in our church. Amen. They did. They became. Alec was in charge of our coffee shop, and what a gift of hospitality he had. And Joey did anything that was needed to be done. You know, some of the best church members, I don't know how to say it, can be scraped off the floor. They can be picked up out of places that you wouldn't think you'd go to find the best church members. But some of the people who've received the most love, Jesus said they will love the most. Alec lived with them until he died. We had a great homecoming service for Alec. I want to say that Steve encouraged me as a pastor to believe in those two men. And they both became a great part of our church. Joey and Alec are just some examples of people that Steve and Sandy brought into their home and adopted with the love of God. They brought them in. They poured love on them. They fathered them. They cared for them, people in need. They believed in them. And they brought them into their home. They invited their parents, each of their parents, and their sister and her husband and other people who lived in their house. I told Steve, I know if I were ever homeless, I could know where I could go. Steve said, you sure could, but you'd have to earn your keep. Steve and Sandy work, and they taught people to work, and that's valuable. They taught Joey to work. They taught Alec to work. They taught everybody around them to work. So I'd have to really be desperate to go to their house. Steve and Sandy took in a whole family of people. A man that was struggling with drug addiction and his wife and children. They took them into their home. Let them live in their house. And that man struggled with drugs all the time. And I don't know if he ever got delivered, but his family did. Because of the investment that Steve and Sandy made in their lives. Over the years I've known them, they've fathered many people, cared for many people. Several years ago, Steve told me he was thinking about starting a ministry for men. He was wanting to help men that were in need. So he got this idea of having a men's meeting at some ungodly hour of the morning. And feeding them breakfast. And pouring the Father's love on them. And some of the crazy men in this church joined him in it. Victor, Walla, others of you joined him in that. And it's made a difference in the lives of dozens of men that have felt adopted by the love of God that was in this man that poured out love on these people. They've adopted dozens of men and cared for men and healed men and restored men, and they're still doing it. They're crazy. Pastor Michael, this wonderful gift of hospitality is flourishing in this church. But I've got to say, I first saw it in you. When Michael Obie was a single man living in an apartment, he fed the city out of his apartment. He opened up his table. He brought people in and fed them. Sometimes it was just foo-foo and donuts. But there was always something there for people to eat. And my son was a struggling young college student at the time, and he ate at Michael's house many times. I'm not sure he ever learned to like foo-foo, but he loved it at Michael's table. It made a difference in my son's life. My son became a pastor. He's a pastor today. You invested in his life with that gift of hospitality. This church is filled with the gift of hospitality. It has flowed down to you. I know some of you brought it with you, but some of you caught it while you were here. It's like a disease. But instead of making people sick, it makes them well. Steve Mathis is an ordained minister under my covering in International Ministries Network, and I'm proud of you. I'm proud of you as a son. I'm proud of you for the man of God you are, the husband you are, the minister of God you are, the one who cares for broken people. I honor you. I respect you for the faithful man that you are. And I love you like a son. Today we're recognizing his gift of hospitality, but we're also recognizing the call of God on his life as a pastor. So I'll ask Pastor Obie if you would come and lead us in as you would like in this part of the service. Thank you so much for allowing me to be here today.